I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will. Now, this is Time Change Sunday, and I was warned by the nursery workers that the time I'm going to start to preach is a time they're usually letting the babies go. And they're ready to go home and have lunch. But there's another 45 minutes or so to go here. And some of you know the joke here. So somehow they think that they give me Reese's peanut butter cup, I'll preach shorter. So they gave me a little incentive here. And so I felt impressed a few weeks ago to do a message on marriage in the home. And the reason I did that, because that's where the hope of our nation is. You realize the nation is made of people, right? And people are grouped in families. And what families do, so go the family, so goes the nation. And so there's some things I want to do to kind of give us some things to work with. And I started that a few weeks ago. And then we had some other things. We had our Bible conference. We have anniversary Sunday and all kinds of things in there I wanted to cover. And so I'm back on that here this morning. And so we're gonna work with that. There's things I want us to see, some principles. I don't really have a strict form for this message, with points and subpoints in a poem, you know, to finish it up. But I have some truths that we need to settle in our hearts, and I think this is very apropos for everything we have coming up here in this next week as well. And so I want this to be a blessing to you, but I want you to listen to it. This is important. I'm not saying this to blow wind. I got a lot of hot air, and you know that, but I'm not up here just blowing wind here this morning. I want you to understand there's some things we need to do, and if we don't do it, nothing's going to change. We're just going to keep getting, when I say change, not change for the better. Where we're headed, we'll continue to head there, and I'm not sure that's really where we want to be. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Why? "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Right there. Right there. In fact, we are told, our children are being told, you need to love yourself. You need to love yourself. Okay, well, listen, no man doesn't love himself. You care about yourself. We all know. That's why you get mad when somebody else doesn't love you. Because you love you, and you think everybody else should love you too. You know, it's not that. Now, you may dislike some things about yourself, but you love yourself. That's not the point. The point is we'll get to it. So he says here, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves," and if that's the case, what happens? Covetous, that means I deserve that. Boasters, look at me. Proud, ha, ha, ha. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Everything revolves around me, and the rest of you are peons. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," well, that means they have no self-control, and you hear that all the time. "Well, I couldn't help myself. I just, you know, one thing I do it, but I mean, I can't stop that. I got to go to a therapist. Maybe they can tell me." No, the therapist will tell you, it's okay. "You can't stop this sin. You can't stop this problem." And the therapist will say, "Well, you know, your daddy didn't take you out for ice cream when you were two, and now you can't do right." I'm not trying to be mean and facetious here, but listen, we got to go back to reality here. We're lovers of our own selves. He says we become traitors. I'm sorry. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce." I mean, just plain mean. "Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers," watch, "lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Stop running that bunch. Stop listening to that bunch. Stop giving heed and ear to that bunch. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women with laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts." People will convince you that that's the way it's supposed to be. And you know what? In our own sinfulness, we'll give into it. You know what? You're right. I'm a pretty nice person. I deserve better than this. I don't deserve to be treated like this. You know what? They're wrong. And if they don't like it, that's their problem. In fact, they've got something I like. I think I ought to be able to take it because, you know what? Equity. You've got something I don't have. So I guess we're not equal. It means you got to give me what you have so we have the same thing. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Ever learning, verse 7, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to pray this morning here. I'm going to speak on this subject. We must begin again. We must begin again. Now I know we must be born again. And that's true. We must be born again. We must be saved. And we must go back to that. But I want to take this kind of a little off on the side here. We must begin again. I think you understand what I'm saying as we go along. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for our people here. We thank you for our nation. We thank you for what you've given us here. And Lord, I'm afraid that we're going to lose it if we're not careful. So Lord, I ask you to give us your wisdom, your understanding. Help us to have your truths. Lord, I want to stir our hearts here this morning. We may not be able to do everything for our nation, but we can do what we can do in our spot, in our part of the world, in our place where we have a realm of influence. And who knows what you may expand our borders to allow us to do. So, Lord, we pray for not only our church, for our people, pray for our nation. Lord, I think we're on the edge of a cliff here. We're not careful. We don't back away from some of this. We're going to go right off the other side. There's going to be the loss of our nation here, destruction, disastrous fall. Lord, I ask you to speak to us. We need your unction, your Holy Spirit power. Help me to say the words the right way, kindly but firmly. And Lord, there's some things we need to deal with here this morning. And may we face the truth with open hearts and open minds. We give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. We have a nation that is flying apart morally. The problems with our nation may be showing up in our political activities. Really, our politics are a reflection of who our nation is. We voted them in as a whole. It may not be a reflection of you individually, but where the place where our nation is a reflection of our nation. The problems with our nation may be showing up in our political activities, but the problems in our nations are not political. The problems with our nation come from a moral deficiency. Abortion is not a political issue. They try to say it is. And in fact, they want us to keep our nose out of it because they it's a political issue. Abortion is not a political issue. It's a moral issue. Crime is not a political issue. It's a moral issue. Sexual perversion and gender dysphoria is not a political issue. It's a moral issue. Even political corruption and bad political policies are not even political issues. They are moral issues. God has given them the right and allowed them to come to a certain place to administrate and to guide and to lead the people. But they're supposed to be leading it. We're supposed to be one nation. Yes. This is a moral, spiritual issue. They are moral issues. Where do these politicians come up with some of the stuff that they come up with? They truly think that they will get away with their lies and deceit at the expense of Americans, and I believe this is the thought process of many of our politicians. If you have a Bible nearby and you want to follow along with me, grab a hold and let's go. But here we go, Psalm 10, verse number 2. I've got a lot of scripture, but I want you to see these because this is not Sterling Walsh. This is the Word of God. This is a moral issue, so we're not going to fix it. By the way, a lot of people think we're going to have a good election, and once we have a good election, everything's going to be okay, and we're all going to go, that's where we got in problem. I got in trouble in the first place. You realize it used to be you had the church. Well, I'm sorry, you had the home. You had the church, which supports the home, and you had the school system and the government, which is supporting the Lord. And over here, we're trying to do right. And what happened was over the years, the home has decided. First they said, well, we'll just let the church teach our kids morals. We'll do what we want in our house, but we're going to let the church give our kids. We'll drop them off there, and they'll give them some good learning, and they'll be okay. And then the fact is that the church and homes and the church decide, you know what, the kids are at school all day, just let them do it. By the way, the school was never supposed to be our spiritual leaders. Now, they shouldn't be our spiritual opponents, But they're not supposed to be the ones teaching our kids. I don't want the public school teaching my kids truth anyway. But if the Lord had his way, everybody would be saved. That means my school teachers would be saved. The administration would be saved. Everybody would be saved. And we would be getting it and reinforced it while they're at school. But the fact is, we turned it all over, and finally the public school system said, okay, we'll take it. And now you got somebody leading the school system, the unions of the education, and they said, listen, all you parents, you just need to kind of sit down, cool off, shut up, let us do the work. See, we're the professionals, and we know what your child needs. And they're leading them down as into the pit, and we're just letting them do it. But watch here. It says in Psalm 10, verse 2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. If you don't want to apply, you don't want to apply to any place else, you apply it to abortion. You know what? We don't need to be bothered with these unwanted babies. We'll just get rid of them. It's called murder. He lieth in wait, secret as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. Verse 10, he croucheth, he humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. You know, the vast majority of the citizens of our nation have it in their mind that the moral issues of our nation can be solved through the political process and the penal system. The Department of Justice and the court system, the Department of Corrections, is not going to truly solve the root problem causing the violence and the crime we're experiencing. Crime and violence are caused by people, not systems. Nor are they caused by tools or tangible items such as guns. We do not have a gun problem in our nation. We have a sin problem. But very few people seem to want to admit it. And if we got rid of our guns, they'll get out their machetes or their hammers or their butcher knives or anything else, or run them over with the car. We're going to do. Have car control? Don't pass it. Don't listen. Don't push it. Put them all on public transportation. Listen, all they got to do is say you can't buy gas. You got to buy one of these kind of cars over here. And then we turn off the electric grid, and everybody's stuck at home. Listen, that sounds so far-fetched. Not anymore. Not anymore. Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, you know who he is, maybe, says we do not have a gun problem, we have an idiot problem. And I'm telling you, and more than the Word of God is telling us, we do not have a crime problem, we have a problem with wicked hearts. Proverbs 4, verse number 10. I got a couple of verses. You turn, I'll start. We'll meet there. We have plenty of time. Hear, O my son, I've received my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. He said, listen up here, you'll live your life. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Somebody has dropped the ball and has not taught our children for several generations, including ourselves. We were children one time. Or somehow we chose not to. Watch, it says, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. But that's what we're told all the day long. This is the way, this is the way to have fun, this is the way to have a life, this is what you're going to do. And we're told that, and our kids are being told that. And I'll tell you, I don't think many of us are saying, stop it. Because too many parents say, well, in fact, I've heard it, they'll say this. Well, I have a hard time giving my kids a hard time because, you know, I was a mess when I was a kid. You ever hear that? You ever hear that? I was a mess when I was a kid, so I don't want to be too hard on my kid. And so they say, well, I don't want to be too hard on my kid. And gradually we degrade into what we have now. And we wonder why kids are murdering, pushing kids on, pushing folks onto the tracks at the subway. He says, verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. He said, don't you even get close to that. Why? Because he says, their sleep is taken away. I'm sorry. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. You know, I used to think, well, if you get yourself in a hard place, you might do something you shouldn't do. But people just do stuff they shouldn't do just to do stuff they shouldn't do. You know what I'm saying? What can we get into tonight? Who can we murder tonight? Let's go down and see if we can find an old lady along the street and we'll just kick her until she's dead. That'll be fun. Let's go down and see how many we can push onto the subway tracks. I know there's always a bunch of people standing down here in the corner. Let's go have target practice and shoot a few. See how many we can get. There's hardly any more reason for them than what they're doing out there. He says, I used to think this was a stupid question. They lie and they sleep not except they've done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they can cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. I used to think, why? Nobody does that. You don't lay in bed and say, how can I hurt somebody? I need to find somebody to hurt. Let's just go out and see if we can find somebody we can hurt. Let's see if we can go find some car we can hijack, and if we got to kill the driver to get it, that's fine. It's just, you know, and who thinks of these things? A wicked heart. Verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my, watch it. My son, what's he saying? I got to catch him while he's still a kid. I got to teach these people while they're still young. So they don't fall into this mess. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. American society is astounded and confused at their wit's end, trying to figure out why crime and violence has become so rampant in our nation all of a sudden. First of all, it has not been all of a sudden. We are what we have been becoming. We've been headed this direction for a long time. The difference is that the current political leaders have taken the lid off, and the sin that has been boiling in the hearts of our citizens has been allowed to escape into the society and given free run of this nation. The sinfulness in the hearts of our nation has always been there. And for many years, the sinfulness was suppressed and held back by the common fear of authority, including for many the fear of God, or at least a higher power that they were accountable to. But as Psalm 36 tells us, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there's no fear of God before their eyes. He flattereth himself in his own eyes. In other words, he reassures himself that he's good and worthy of all the riches of the world. He says he flatters himself with his own eyes until his iniquity, the sin, watch, be found hateful. It's not just that there's sin down in my heart, but I've got to express it in a hateful ways. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise. He doesn't even care about trying to be wise anymore and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. There it is again. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. And last week we learned that the way of the righteous is to depart from evil. He didn't care about evil. In fact, evil's fun. And they've fallen for it. We lost the fear of God. And watch me now. This is not all of a sudden. We lost the fear of God sometime before prayer and Bible reading was taken out of the public education of our children in 1962. Now, I say that we lost it. A lot of people say, well, we lost it right there. No. We lost it as a nation before that, because if America truly feared God at the time that Madeleine Murray O'Hare convinced our nation to separate its children from God and no longer reinforce the fear of God, we would not have allowed our elected officials to rob our children of the fear of God. But we did. Listen, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Our nation allowed itself, listen, watch me, to outlaw the public propagation of the fear of God. Let me say that again. We allowed our elected officials to outlaw the public propagation of the fear of God. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We robbed our children of the blessings of God. We were robbed. It was taken out of school in 1962. I'm 62 years old. I was 2 years old when they took it out of school. I never had that. Now, I agree. The home should be teaching the Word of God. The church should be teaching the Word of God. But the fact is, they'll say, we'll just be neutral. Yeah, that's my wife down there. I'm kind of neutral about her. The Bible says, supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. You can't be neutral about God. You can't be neutral about Jesus Christ. And when you went neutral, I'll tell you what happened. It wasn't but a few years where then they say, well, you know what? We don't have to mention this. We'll just push evolution. Now we don't talk about God. Now, by the way, it's not illegal to talk about God in school, but they're going to tell you it is. They're going to intimidate you that it is. They're going to threaten you for things if you do that. But listen, when our nation officially and publicly expressed that we no longer needed to make the Lord our God, in 1962, our nation, the United States, was considered one nation under God, but it officially divorced itself from God. But blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We officially divorced ourselves from God. We are not going to teach it to our children. Matthew 10:32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We basically said, we don't need you, God. We're just fine all by ourselves. See, we're Americans. I'm American. Americans always will be victorious. Because we're Americans. I'm as patriotic as the next guy. I love my country. I don't want to live anywhere else. But we're not righteous, nor holy, nor undefeatable because we're Americans. I want to give you a couple of interesting coincidences. In 1960, 5% of children born in America were born to an unwed mother. In 1950, It was 1 in 20. Prayer and Bible reading was removed from the public education of our children in 1962. 8 years later, 1970, 11% of all children born in America were born to unwed mothers. More than doubled. More than 100% increase in 10 years. By 1990, 20 years later, the percentage went up to 28%. That's another 150% increase. By 2000, it raised to 33%, which means one-third of all pregnancies were unwed mothers. By 2008, it was 41%. Now, according to the 2021 U.S. Census Bureau, out of about 11 million single-parent families with children under the age of 18, nearly 80% are headed by single mothers. Now, the percentage seems to have leveled off at 41% of pregnancies, but we must make one other point. That we need to take into account that 3,400 children are aborted in America every day. There were 3,659 births in America in 2021. But out of that, there was 1,241,000 abortions. That means one-third of all pregnancies were aborted. And the ones that weren't aborted, 80% of them are unwed mothers. And the only reason why that the percentage of unwed mothers has gone down because abortions have gone up. We didn't have a pregnancy, we didn't have a birth because we aborted it before it was born. How could the wicked get away with outlawing God in our public schools? Well, all it takes is for evil to triumph and for good to do nothing. And our nation had already forgotten God for at least one generation before that. Again, we are proud patriots, but closet Christians. Now, patriotism is good, but honestly, America shall not stand forever because of its patriotism. On the other hand, the kingdom of God shall stand forever, and as long as our nation is willing to submit itself to the kingdom of God, we will stand until His return. But I fear our nation has turned its impudent face away from the Lord of the universe and decided as a nation that we do not need the Lord's help for us to be great and undefeatable. We believe that we are great because we're Americans. Obama's slogans were believe and yes, we can. And I'll be honest with you, there's an awful lot of folks, even I consider conservative, who will say, we're going to be able to get through this because we're Americans. Well, if we're going to fight, we're going to win, we're going to have victory because we're Americans. It makes my skin crawl every time I hear it. I was listening to a rally with Donald Trump last night. And toward the end of there, he said, you know what, we're going to overcome this because we're Americans. And I thought, oh, man. And then he said this, and Americans only bow to God. Now, that man's got some issues. I understand. Don't get me wrong. Every founding father we've ever had, anyone that's been in America has issues. But there is one thing that we have to have. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. First one is to fear God. Deuteronomy 4:24 tells us this. Deuteronomy 4:24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children. This is where I'm headed here, folks. And ye shall have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land. Whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, where the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods and work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. when thou art in tribulation, all these things are come upon thee. Even in the latter days, these last days, which are perilous times, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Watch this. Deuteronomy 8:10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of the flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto his fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do not all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the Lord, on the voice of the Lord your God. Now, you want to call this the second point? You can do that, but the only way to go back and fix this is to go back and do the first things again. We need to go back and do what we were doing that made America great in the first place. Jeremiah 6:10. He's giving warning to Judah that they're about ready to be taken into captivity. This is what he says. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Because their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. He says, you know what? They haven't decided they want to hear God. When it says certain, they're, in other words, they have not set apart their hearing so they hear from God alone. So they can't hear. They don't want to hear. Behold, the word of God is unto them a reproach. In other words, they hate hearing the word of God, so they cast it out. It tells us things they don't want to hear. They're ashamed of it. It says they have no delight in it. They don't want to hear it. By the way, they don't want their children to hear it. Listen, there are people who do not come to church because they're afraid their kids are going to hear truth and they're not going to be able to hide it when they get home. And the children are going to find out that they're a bunch of hypocrites. People don't want to hear the word of God because their deeds are evil and they want to walk in the darkness. They don't want to hear it. Why is that? Listen, we got to catch them as children. We have to get them. Now, listen. We're going to save as many as we can, adults and so forth. But the fact is, we have to catch them while they're young. Watch, he says, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary in withholding him. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even a husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days. He says, listen, they're going to come in, they're going to take this city, they're going to level it, and it's going to kill the children too. It's going to kill the children too. But we don't want to bother them with all the rules and regulations of God and the Bible, you know. Well, okay, do you want to bother them with the rules and the regulations and the things, the Word of God, the things that you think constrains their life, or you want them killed by the enemy, destroyed by the enemy? Is that what you want? Is that what we're saying? We're going to be nice enough until they finally are destroyed in the mess? Finally drown in the perdition? And that's what we're saying. I want to be nice, so I'm not going to tell them it's wrong. Well, we'll just leave them to corrupt away with the rest of the world. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, even one is given covetous, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. He says, even the priests and the prophets, they're not even saying it right. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know, saying, oh, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Well, the old preacher, he's just mean. Boy, you go and listen to him. Boy, it's just so depressing. I mean, it's just not that bad. I mean, we've been here all these years. You think we're just going to fall into the ocean? Well, it's been weathering away and eating away, and the corrosion has taken away. Eventually, it will fall in the ocean. Folks are saying, it's going to be okay. Just wait and see. Once we get past the election, the politicians will fix everything. It goes on, it says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination?
Nay.
They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit, and they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. You know what he's saying? These are probably good people who know God, but aren't willing to live for God, serve God, or propagate the fear of God. He says, you know what's going to happen? They're going to fall with the ones who didn't have God at all. They're going to fall with the ones who didn't have God at all. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We're progressives. We're not going to take us back to those years. Bunch of old fuddy-duddies. Religious superstition. We don't want to hear it. Fine. But you're going to find that God was true and right. The only cure for the dreadful disease of sin in our nation is to go back and do the former things that once made our nation great. Great politicians will not save our nation. There are no great politicians without Jesus Christ in their heart. Great legislation will not heal our nation. There's no great legislation without the law of God, but we've thrown the law of God out. Great social programs and efforts to care for the poor and needy will not solve the ills of our nation. But if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul, we have nothing. Great governmental control, socialism, even communism, and not even the free enterprise system will save our nation. The kingdoms of this world shall fall. They rise and fall with the word of the Lord. There is only one Lord of lords and King of kings, and that is the Lord of Jesus Christ. And one of these days, that at every name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God and our Father. You get to the book of Revelation, and it says, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. All right, turn to Deuteronomy 6. I'm coming down the home stretch here. We've got a passage I want you to see. So what are the former things? What are the former things? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 1. I still don't remember how to say that. The Shema? The Shema. This is called the Shema. This is the first piece of scripture that they would teach Hebrew children. Maybe before they even understood a lot of it. They had to memorize this scripture. Hide it in their heart. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. They would make them hide this word in their heart, because this is the foundational reasoning of life. God says, this is the way it works. If you're going to have success, you're going to have victory, this is the way it works. Now, it's not talking about politics. It's not talking about a new way of thinking, a new wave, new age, whatever you want to call it. He says, this is where it works. And by the way, this is where our nation tried to be. Were they perfect? No. But did they fear God? Yes. Deuteronomy 6:1. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now watch me. Hear, O Lord, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It's not Allah, it's not Buddha, it's not Hare Krishna, it's the Lord Jehovah. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, creator of the universe, that is God. He alone is God. Our government is not God, those trying to be our God. No, some person is not our provision and our protector and our peace. God is our provision, our protector, and our peace. Who is your God? The Lord Jehovah. He's our God. He says, hear, O Israel, therefore I deserve to do it. He says, hear, O Israel, verse 4, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Well, I like God. Well, I think every kid should know about him. That's not what he said. I like my wife. She's pretty good. And I'll keep her unless something better comes along. Well, you don't do that. And you don't do it with God either. Verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy pocket, shall be on the dashboard of my car, shall be on the coffee table, worse, shall be in the trunk of my car, shall be written on the walls. Yeah, but watch. For this purpose, they shall be in thine heart. Thine heart. It's who you are. The fabric of your being. These words I commanded this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt, watch, teach them diligently unto thy children. That's where we got it. That's where we got off. We didn't pass it on. You've heard me say it before. But you're still hearing it from the other side. Well, we're going to get through this. Let's get through the lecture. We'll be all right. No. The problem is not about bad politics. The problem is wickedness in the hearts of our people. You get rid of you deal with the wickedness in the hearts of the people. We'll deal with the bad politics. And that, watch this. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as front. Look, it's going to be a sign upon my hands. Watch. It's a cheat sheet. I don't know the answers. Well, there it is. I put it on my hand right where I can have it. Huh? I'm not saying, you're not going to cheat. I'm not saying it. But it says, I want the answers. And I'm going to keep the answers where I'm not going to lose it, right here in my hand. And this is going to be frontless to my eyes. In other words, it's going to limit my options, and I so that I only see what God wants me to see. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates. In other words, they should be on the tip of your tongue, Amen. Ready to come right off your lips. Amen. In the heart, out of the great treasure of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Verse 11. And the house is full of all good things which thou fillest not, and diggest, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten in and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name, and shall not go after other gods or the gods of people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes which he commanded thee. Watch. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. And thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And verse 20, and when thy son, you see what I'm saying? He wants to make sure the kids know this. When thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, listen, the Lord saved our souls. We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders. He's done great things in our lives, great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, and he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Listen, God gave us America. We ought to serve him. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good way always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us. I'm coming down the end here. So we're trying to find the answer for the perilous times in which we're living. We started out with 2 Timothy. He says, this also is that the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The answer is not being lovers of our own selves. That's what the world's telling you. You know what our problem with their kids? They just don't love themselves. They don't accept themselves. And we got to make sure we accept them the way they are. Well, their problem is they don't accept themselves the way God created them. You were born a boy. I'm glad I'm not a girl. But you got other people saying, I enjoy being a girl. If you're a girl, that's okay. Problem is the world has told you not to accept who you are. I'm going to get all in all that. Why are children growing up with such a mindset? Because generations of parents have, I'm getting done here, folks. Don't quite put your shoes on, but I'm done. I'm almost done. Because generations of parents have been developing this mindset in themselves. Why have we not been able to solve these issues? Because generations of parents do not want to be without riches and the philosophies of this world, nor their children. They're lovers of pleasures of this world more than lovers of God. I don't want to hurt anybody, but I was a fellow. And a beautiful little family, a couple little kids, years ago when I first got here. And the Lord blessed them. And he came up to me one day after church and said, well, the Lord's blessed us. We've been able to buy a house down along the shore. I don't know, it was out along the lake or something. It wasn't too far away, but it was out along the shore. And I thought, oh, my soul. There they go. And sure enough, they came for a few weeks. He said, you could help us make so many memories with the kids. I'm just looking forward to it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I understand. First of all, they changed churches because we didn't have early service at that time. So they get out, so they couldn't get God out of the way so they can get to their house. Then, after a while, they stopped going to church altogether. Years went by. Kids grew up. Ran across them and said, hey, good to see you. You know, still sweet people. How you doing? Yeah, how's the kids? Kind of hung his head. Well, boys don't want to go to church. In fact, I think one of them said he doesn't even believe in God anymore. Well, why should he? God wasn't important
to mom and dad. She said, well, yeah, he was. Not important enough to go to church and hear God's word. Well, what's wrong? I mean, it's family. Go on Saturday. Go on Saturday. Stop that second job. You don't need a second job anyway. Well, then I'll lose the house at the shore. You don't need the house at the shore. If it takes you away from God, you don't need it. Something good can be something bad. Listen, we must make the hard decisions to save our children by giving up the world. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father unto you. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me ask you this. What are you willing to buy in exchange for the soul of your children? For the soul of your grandchildren? Our only choice is to go back to the former things. Go back to the Word of God. Not the Word of man. Not CRT. Not 1619. Not psychology. Brother Shetler talked about how many kids at the local camp he went to are on antidepressants. Kids don't need antidepressants. Not if we were living right for the Lord. We need to go back to the Word of God. We need to go back to fearing God. And then we need to go back to actually obeying God. And then we can go back to the promises of God. We go back to the blessings of God. Enjoy the presence of God. The protection of God. The provision of God. And the peace of God. There may not be many years left for us on this earth. And some may say, well, why bother? It's going to be too much work. I have to give up too much. And I will have worked all my life and not have anything. Let the next generation solve the problem. Well, how will they solve the problems of the world when they don't even recognize that it's a problem? Much less have a biblical understanding for the answer. Is this the disastrous world we want to leave our children and our grandchildren? Makes me wonder if we're really even Christian. 1 John says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. If we don't even have enough of God's love in us to save our own children from the destruction, the disaster of this world, it begs the question as to whether we're even saved. Are we really that selfish that the things of this world are more important to us than the souls of our children and our grandchildren? You know what this means? We need to raise and train up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to fear God and keep His commandments. This means we need to encourage our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, to fear God and keep His commandments, which also means we must keep our testimony clean and true. Practice what we preach. Be a demonstration of one that loves God, fears God, and obeys God. This means we must make every effort to influence the children in our community as far as the Lord expands our borders. This means we have Sunday school and Wednesday night kids club and children's church and VBS and Youth Ablaze and Keystone Conference. This means we spread the gospel at homes, encourage the parents to bring their children to church. This means we continue to blitz our community with the gospel, invite them to come in. This means we run the buses and encourage children to come and hear the love of Christ when their parents will not bother. This means we not only keep the Christian school up and running, but we expand as the Lord leads and provides, not only getting children saved, but giving them daily instruction in righteousness, equipping them in the Word of God to face this world with God in their hearts, Jesus on their lips, and the fear of God in their souls, and the Word of God as their guide in life. God's people in this nation must choose life, or our lot is certain death of the once greatest nation this world has ever seen. Now, yes, we must vote on Tuesday. But that vote, no matter how well it may turn out, will only buy time for us to do the real work, and that is to go back to the former things, not the progressive things, but the old paths of fearing God and keeping His commandments. If we want to make America great again, we've got to go back to the beginning again and do those things that made America great in the first place. And you may think it cannot be done, but it's been done before, because the Lord's the doer of the work. We're simply the hands and the feet of the Father. It must be done. It can be done. Or America will be cast out of the land the Lord gave us. May the Lord help us and have mercy on our souls.